You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Why We Watch, the show for fans, bar fans, about fans. I am Mags, and today is another one in the retrospective series that I'm calling Why We Still Watch. It's where I revisit and reconnect with former guests and just see how the wrestling landscape lies with them and how their podcasting and content creation is going, and if they've got anything in the pipeline, things like that. Today's guest was actually guest number four on Why We Watch, back in the days when I was co-hosted with my good friend Mark Arendt at New Handle Who This. Props to him. It is the Alpha and the Omega himself, Mr. Omega Luke. Luke, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I am absolutely fantastic, Mags. Why We Watch was one of my favourite times podcasting, so I'm very much glad to be back.
Yeah, it was interesting when I came up with the idea of doing this like look back at the show. It was because of Brainbuster, and I knew like all the changes that had gone on with us both like, in the podcasting world, and it was an idea that I've been like playing around with. And I thought, yeah, it's about time that I spoke to some of these people again and found out just how wrestling's been treating them recently.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, your appearance was, when this gets released, it was actually 8 months since you appeared on there. So I did not expect that show would last longer than about 10 episodes. And now it's into like 40 episodes. So, yeah, I'm really proud of that. It's my babies, that show. And just can't wait for the days for Mark to come back and be a part of the team again.
Yeah, well, you know, I said to you and Mike straight from the beginning, I think it's a fantastic idea, and I thoroughly enjoyed listening to some of the episodes that you guys have put out with some of the guests that you've had. And yeah, I think it's a great idea, and the fact that you're bringing people back is like this retrospective thing. You know, it's making it fresh again. So yeah. I like it.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that. It's not the same kind of approach as the standard Why Watch, where I have like a set amount of questions and a bit of a word association. It's more just a chat to see how wrestling is treating you. Why We Watch is proud to be working with powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
In those 8 months, Luke, as a fan of wrestling, what have you been up to?
So, in a way, I think since then we've had WrestleMania, we've had the dip between WrestleMania and Survivor at SummerSlam, which I'll be honest, I have dipped out of WWE stuff. I still try and watch NXT and NXT UK when I can, but I've been really on the New Japan and the Progress bandwagon, and time in life is hard to use properly. So when WWE, I think, didn't make such good products, I stepped away from it. I did what a lot of people should do when they get annoyed with it, instead of just keep watching and watching and just slagging it off. And I've stepped away from it. Since then, we've also had AEW, and I've watched every show that they've produced so far. And I've got to say it, I thoroughly enjoy it so far. I know a lot of people have their doubts. I can see why some people don't like it, and I can see why some people are unsure about it. But personally, I think they're doing everything right if they want to be successful. I don't think they're trying to take over WWE, because that's just, that'd be a stupid idea for them. I think they're just, they're willing to be a healthy challenger, but they're also willing to do things what they feel is right. And I thoroughly agree with that. So yeah, I've stepped away from WWE a lot. Even the NXT and the NXT UK, I haven't watched as much weekly show. But the independents and AEW, I've always kept in track with, and thoroughly enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, and it would be a better state in wrestling social media and wrestling Twitter if more people took that approach, rather than sit there and like you said, watch something that you're not enjoying, and then you're going out onto wrestling Twitter and you're being negative and you're adding to this toxicity that that wrestling Twitter is famous for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Manchester United fan, so I'm used to watching crap. But when it's your football team, you can't stop watching. You have to support them no matter what. When it's wrestling, you can move away. You can support other things. It's fine.
Yeah, and with like AEW coming to the forefront, I think that can lead to a better WWE product, because Vince historically creates his best product when he's nervous and when he's got his back against the wall, and we've seen that just this week with NXT making its debut on a mainstream channel. So how do you think that the WWE product is going to be affected by AEW?
Like you sort of said then, I think it will only benefit. I like the idea of NXT going to as this third brand. I've always said it. I think even you've like listened to episodes where I've said it in, when I've got guests on, and I've basically said, is it still a developmental? Because I don't think it is. And this was like nearly a year ago now. I've always thought it should go to 2 hours. So I'm happy with that, because there is so much talent, which we don't see. And arguably NXT has better wrestling, it's had better storylines, it's had less of the crap that you get on main roster TV. So as long as it's kept to what it is, I am more than happy for it to go to 2 hours, to go to mainstream TV in America. I mean, there's sort of like a bit of a mystery about what it's going to do to the UK sort of scene over here. But I think that's a positive move. With SmackDown going on Fox on Friday, I mean, it doesn't really make much difference to us. We don't have Fox. It'll still be on, I think it's on Sky Sports to begin with, and then go into BT at some point.
In January, is it?
BT, yeah. So it's not going to affect people over here too much. We just have to get BT Sports instead. But I think JEW has come up. WWE has booked their ideas up. We've seen some very good storylines, but then it's also still flickering with the crap. I mean, I don't, like I say, watch it, but I still follow it. I still follow what's going on storylines. I still follow champions and stuff like that. And like, you know, this week, all I seen was the stuff with The Fiend was amazing. But then also, what the hell's going on with Maria Kanellis? Like, why is Rusev having a baby? And it's
got
stuff like that.
Tash.
Exactly. And it's stuff like that. And I think, oh, that's why I'm not watching now. So I think they still got a long way to go for me to be invested again in WWE to the point where I'll watch every week. Occasionally I'll check the highlights out. If someone says it's a good match, like I'm going to watch the Gable versus Corbin match because I heard it's good and I like both of them. So yeah, I think overall AEW is going to be a positive to WWE, and you know, competition raises everyone. So I think that's the main thing about this, that we're spoiled now, and it's going to be a good time for wrestling for the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned NXT UK and how you've kind of drifted away from watching that regularly, but what are your thoughts on the company of NXT UK? When it came about, obviously there was a lot of concern that this was the death knell for the British scene, that WWE were going to hoover up all this British talent. I was definitely on that bandwagon. I had the real concerns that would happen. It's it's happened to a slight degree almost, where we've seen companies like Southside have to close, and we've seen companies like Defiant go under. But we've also seen like an influx of these new exciting companies like Resurgence and Breed, Reach and Riptide, Pro Wrestling Eve, obviously. So how do you feel that NXT fits into this British wrestling scene?
I think what it basically is doing is, like you say, people are still being able to flourish if you know your limits and you know your niche. And me and Wilfred have spoke about this quite a lot because we're both really passionate about British wrestling. Mm-hmm. And the companies like Defiant, who were, I don't want to say like WWE wannabes, but they always had a lot of ex-WWE guys there from when I used to watch it anyway. Like I always seen a Kurt Angle or a Alberto Del Rio or a Cody Rhodes always main eventing and stuff like that. They were trying to get the big names in instead of pushing these guys who no one's seen before, but they know could be a huge talent. And we've seen people like Riptide with Cara Noir and now Neon Cassius, Breed Wrestling. They've made TK Cooper their champion, who I've been saying since I interviewed him is an unbelievable talent. And the fact that no one big has snapped him up still baffles me to this day. He is young and hungry. He is still really good. And other companies, you know, Reach Wrestling, I work quite close with Reach Wrestling, and he won't mind me saying this. He's Grayson, who is the owner of Reach Wrestling, has messaged me before and said, you know, if you're an indie fan, who gets you to buy a Reach ticket just on his name alone? And I said a couple of names, and no word of a lie, two of those names have popped up in the two shows leading up to winter. So they listen to the fans. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite important. They're not trying to copy WWE because they know, why would I want to go watch a company who's trying to be like WWE when I could just watch WWE NXT UK? Mm-hmm. Because NXT UK, I know I said I don't watch it as much anymore. The six shows that I seen live where I was front row, I loved every single one. The matches were great. The storylines were great. The characters were amazing. And we were all three of us who were there stood and thought, I really regret not following this for a while. Like, we should be watching this. The takeover was outstanding. Not a bad match on the card. Even the match I wasn't bothered about, the Last Man Standing match, was so well done. And I thought, you know what? Every time that NXT UK is doubted or they're given a chance to showcase, they're doing everything right so far. And I think it's props to Triple H to having the belief in that. The people that they're signing now, they're getting those big indie names, you know, the Walter with Imperium, love it. One of the best things about wrestling right now is Imperium. I think it's fantastic. And then all these side people are coming in. We got people like who are acting as jobbers at the minute, but you're going to see more and more people like Pretty Deadly, who are amazing tag team, been down in Reach, and I've been saying for a while these guys are really good. They're showing up on NXT UK because they have a lot of talent and they're going to be used soon, and I really like the fact that they do that. So I think it has, like you say, it has its effect on companies like that. Pro Wrestling Chaos is another one who we're not quite sure whether they're going to disappear or not. They still are booking shows right now, but at one point it looked like it was going to end. And I hope it doesn't, because Pro Wrestling Chaos has been quite good. So it can have a bad effect, but it also boosts the effect of everyone around, because it means people are more interested in wrestling. And if you're watching WWE NXT UK, you got a flavor for wrestling, and you live in the Brighton area, and you think, oh, I really fancy watching some wrestling. Oh, there's a company down the road, Riptide. You go watch that. It's completely different. You may really enjoy it, and they're just knocking it out of the park. So, yeah, I think it's helping.
Yeah, I think the NXT UK coming in has basically forced a lot of companies to evolve, and rather than rely on these talents that they could pick off the bigger name talents, create their own talents and create their own legacy. And that again was like you mentioned, that was the problem with Defiant. They relied on big names from WWE. They relied on big names from the likes of New Japan. And when them deals dried up, they had nobody to fall back on.
Yeah,
they still had this big audience who were interested in the product. And when there's no names to bring them people in, the product dies, and it dies a very quick death, and that was unfortunately what happened with Defiant. So my views on NXT UK is that it's kind of going to become the feeder for the main NXT brand.
Yeah.
I remember Triple H did a global localization kind of report, and he like almost attested to the fact that they're going to have these NXTs prop up all over the world. For me, I think the British wrestling scene are going to be a feeder for NXT UK, who are then going to be a feeder for the NXT Raw and SmackDown brands. But how do you feel about the relationship that WWE has got with the likes of Progress, with the likes of RCW, and even with the likes of OTT, like really utilising these big UK brands?
Yeah, I like it in a way because, you know, this weekend just gone, I went to a Progress show. Who did I see there? I seen Keith Lee and Matt Riddle as a tag team. And that's amazing for me. I've seen Matt Riddle, obviously, for NXT when he came to NXT UK. That was the first time I've seen him. But the fact that I'm seeing him at Mountain, another NXT UK tag team, which was an unbelievably fun match. We wouldn't have got that if that wasn't the case and these relationships weren't able to happen. When the downside of it, obviously, is these relationships can only last a certain amount of time before the bigger fish is almost like, nah, you've had your fun, like where we've got what we want out of you, but you know, we don't need you anymore. The likes of Jim Smallman leaving Progress because he's working full time for WWE already in America for NXT. That is huge for NXT. WWE have realized Jim Smallman is a fucking genius. He is a wrestling genius. He is a fan who started up his company, Progress, 2012, and now look at it, it's a huge company, and unfortunately we're going to lose Jim because of that. That is a big downside. He is more of a loss than Pete Dunne, than Walter, than Mustache Mountain, Matt Riddle, all of these guys never wrestling at Progress again. Jim Smallman is more of a loss than them because they've dealt with that in the past. Jimmy Havoc stopped for a while. Will Ospreay stopped for a while. Yeah, sometimes they come back, but it's going to be a massive shame. And I think these relationships are great when the indie shows can benefit from it, but it doesn't leave a sour taste. It just leaves a gutted taste in my belly that, you know, some of these people we're never going to see again.
Yeah, so it is a shame, but that it's unfortunate. That's the way of the wrestling world. You've got to either evolve or you get left behind.
And yeah.
Unfortunately, some companies are gonna lose out where other companies are gonna prosper. So it's kind of like swings and roundabouts almost. But give us your overall state of the union when it comes to British wrestling.
So to be honest, I think it's gonna be okay. I really do. I think we had this time last year was a massive thrive in British independent wrestling. All of these names randomly popping up, and then of course NXT UK starting. So there was a buzz about these names as well. And a lot of these companies just sort of like WrestleGate came out of nowhere, like Reach Wrestling all of a sudden became quite big. Riptide became a thing. And I think it was a massive surge last year, and it has dipped a bit because people like Progress, you know, I'm a massive Progress fan. Progress, my favorite company right now. They did dip, and I sort of lost a little bit of interest just before the Super Strong Style 16, that sort of like after Mania effect, I suppose. And I felt like it did have an effect now. They're starting to pick it back up. The last show, Chapter 95, Still Chasing, was unbelievable. One of the best, it is the best wrestling show I've ever seen live. So it's going to be okay. And one of those matches, Pete Dunne was fighting in his last ever Progress match for the time being. He did like a really cool promo, and he hit the nail on the head. He sort of said, Cara Noir was in the ring. He was the guy who called him out. And he said, like, all of you are worried about British wrestling when you've got Cara Noir in this ring. You have nothing to worry about when there's people like him coming up. And it is true. As much as they are losing their best names right now, that's happened for years and years and years. It's just never been that much of a spotlight on it. You know, how did Ring of Honor carry on when it lost CM Punk? It's always been the same thing. So I think it's going to be okay. I'm looking forward to more Progress shows. I'm looking forward to the names that are propping up, people who I've been telling people for a while now, you're going to know about this name soon. People like Brendan White, who, since I interviewed him, has now been wrestling for Rev Pro, which I think is outstanding, and training with New Japan Dojo candidates. So people like that, I'm really excited for. So I think we're going to be okay, and it's an exciting time again for British wrestling.
Yeah, and I think tournaments like the Natural Progression Show really highlight that there is still young, hungry, and quality talent just bubbling under the surface. And when these big fish do leave, these young talents are ready and primed to take up that mantle.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty Davis, who ended up winning the Natural Progression Series, 18 years old. He was the one who I said was going to win it the least. Mm-hmm. I was sure that it was going to be Cara Noir or the OJMO. Gene Money is, again, one of these characters. Wilf interviewed him. He is outstanding. I met the guy. He is bonkers, by the way. But that is why people will love him. He comes out wearing like a captain's, like, sailor's hat with like a mink, like, fur jacket. It's so bizarre. And he stands above like a doghouse in photos. No idea why, but I'm intrigued and I want to watch his matches. And it's amazing. And things like that, they just draw you in. And it's just new people who, you know, I went to the show with two people who never even heard of Gene Money. And after the show, they were talking about Gene Money.
Yeah.
And that is
Rev Pro. Rev Pro, who have unfortunately been in the news recently for some quite outlandish antics. And then there's also been issues with a company called Broken Ring Wrestling, who was the promoter, was being quite slimy towards female wrestlers. How do you think that these incidents look in terms of like the British wrestling scene?
Yeah, it doesn't look right. And Rev Pro, in a way, it wasn't their fault. The only thing that they did bad was the way that they reacted to it. So Josh Bowden, the guy who is in question here, he basically beat up a referee because the referee sort of mucked up the finish. He ended up posting messages from the Rev Pro guy saying, like, this referee thing is really affecting us. And a lot of people are talking about it online. Say what you will about the referee, why it took him so long to come forward, why he never said anything to his employers the 2 days after when he was hanging around with them. You still shouldn't be beating up a referee. And as a company, you still should be protecting your officials if your wrestlers are misbehaving. And it, by the sounds of it, Josh Bowden is just naturally a massive asshole. Mm-hmm. And it's now cost him his career because no one wants to book him anymore. And he's basically just died off the face of the planet. So I don't think it looks very good for them. But I don't really think they were in the wrong. They just handled it wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas Broken Ring Wrestling, they are by far in the wrong. Like, you should not be pestering women wrestlers for their personal mobile numbers. If they don't want to give it to you the first time, you do not keep out. Whether male wrestlers give you their number or what, if you are a male promoter, you're asking for a female talent mobile number, if she says no, if you carry on asking her, it doesn't matter whether you're an employer, that's still sexual harassment.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. That is still harassment, no matter what it is. So they handled that really bad because the way they seen it, they did no wrong, and they were trying to make out like their show was going to benefit from it, and it really definitely didn't. And, you know, even our lovely Lord and Savior Wilf has even been on Twitter showing how many retweets and favorites that company's been getting after on Twitter, because their company is dead now and they've just ruined it for themselves. Like, you shouldn't be asking for their numbers anyway. If you class it as a protocol, if male talent are giving you the numbers, fair enough. But don't be a sex pest.
Exactly. And what shocked me more than the actual incidents taking place was the sheer lack of remorse from both the promoter of Broken Ring and Josh Bowden. They literally could not see what they had done
anyway
was wrong, and that for me was more concerning than the incidents what happened. And for instance, the Shaw Samuel slam was obviously a protected slam, but he came out and he apologised and he accepted the ruling of Rev Pro. And he's tried to make amends, but unfortunately, Josh Bowden, like I said, he does seem to have this reputation. I believe he was kicked out of All Japan after about 6 days on a tour. So
yeah,
it just seems we need to weed out these like bad habits and bad people in the wrestling business. I mean, even just this week, Cultaholic hired Hairy Wrestling Fan, and then an hour later, it turns out he was also a bit of a sex pest as well. So it's not really good for British wrestling in terms of that.
No, I mean, you know, the Hairy Wrestling Fan, he's been across Twitter for ages. Don't send pictures of your dick to people, mate. Yeah. Like,
I just will never, ever understand that what is to be gained from random dick pics. But
oh, come on, Max, you're constantly sending me them.
So, Luke, let's get on to your content creation. Since you first appeared on Wowie Watch, the Omega Luke Wrestling Podcast has kind of like faded into the background. You were quite honest and open about your reasons why that you basically weren't feeling the passion for it anymore.
Yeah.
But you have come back, and you have come back with a vengeance whilst on Brainbuster Radio. Explain to us why that passion is back and why you are back in the wrestling content game.
Yeah, it's very weird. When I sort of started to die off, I was sort of falling out of love for it, and it became more of a chore every week to come up with an episode. And it got to the point where obviously I was doing fantasy booking matches, so I was getting other people to make the content for me. And then on a late Sunday afternoon, I was recording what I thought of them and then sending it to Will to submit to Brainbuster. And it literally got to the point where I was like, I'm not enjoying doing this anymore. And I was listening back to it, and I just didn't sound passionate at all. And I'm one of these people, when I first started my podcast, every living hour where I wasn't doing something, I was trying to improve something, whether it was the graphics, whether it was my intro, my outro, I was always trying to improve something. And I thought, well, I don't do that at all now. And it sort of started to fade away. Wilfred, I spoke to him a few times, and we sort of had the same sort of feeling. He was very much under the cosh with Brainbuster and trying to promote that as a brand instead of Wilfred Watches. And at the time as well, he had spoken about bringing on Headlock Talk. And he had said, you know, I want to bring Headlock Talk on to Tuesdays. Would you mind if I join you on Mondays? And I was literally thinking in my head, would it be a bad idea if we went to every other week? Like, if I went 1 week, Wilfred went the next, and it's just one of our shows. We'd spoke about that for a bit, but I can honestly say now, and he won't mind me saying this, ever since Christmas, Wilfred has said, how fun would it be if we did a joint podcast? And he has been pestering me, and I've laughed it off. I thought, yeah, it would be fun. I haven't got time for it though, mate. And then it got to the point where he said it a couple more times, and I thought, do you know what? I'm up for that. We spoke about what it would be, where we don't really have to talk about wrestling if we want. We can just come up with subjects like last minute if we really needed to, because, you know, we are both feeling the same. We both have other projects now. And I've got to admit, I've never enjoyed podcasting as much as what I do when I'm doing it with Wilfred and we're having fun. And doing the different episodes we're doing now. I loved the start when I was doing Omega Luke, and I was getting my friends like Math and everything on. But when it got to Christmas and I was coming up with interviews, yeah, that was great because I felt good doing it, but I was also under a lot of pressure, but I didn't mind it as much. I wasn't enjoying it, but I was enjoying having the fact that I was having these amazing wrestlers on and getting to talk to them. After that, it got more of a chore. And I think, if you start falling out of love of it, or you got other things that you're prioritizing, maybe look to change something. If you know, you don't have to do it. And I had a lot of people who were gutted. Obviously it stopped, but the fantasy booking matches, the main part of it continues on Guyconics, as we are now called. And you know, I really enjoy recording with Wilf. He loves it as well. A couple of times we'll come off that and he'll say, like, you know, this is one of the most fun episodes I've ever done. Regardless of what podcast it is. And I'm the same. We just have a laugh now, and that is the main point of it. I enjoy recording now rather than making it more of a chore. So yeah, I mean, a lot of people are really enjoying it as well, which makes me feel good, because I felt like I didn't have as much love when at the end of Omega Luke. But yeah, I think it's going well, definitely.
Yeah, I fully agree. With a medium such as podcasting, it's easy to to hear when someone's enjoying the content that they're making. And
yeah,
you and Wilf are literally the best podcasting team that there could be. You both have the same kind of humour. You both like banter off each other. There's a real buzz about the podcast. And like I said, you don't go in with a particular topic or script. It's literally just two blokes having a chat about wrestling.
Yeah.
And they, for me, are some of the very best podcasts because you're like a general fan. You're like an actual
yeah.
fan. It's not an overly produced scripted show. You're just two blokes having a chat and the fun you have. And unfortunately, I tend to be in the butt of many of the jokes on that show. But I absolutely
unfortunately,
love
you
it.
Are, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he will say different, but I am not a bad influence on Wilfred. Okay. These last few weeks, he's been saying after, you're a bad influence on me. He is like that all the time, let me tell you.
Yeah, he DM'd me the other day when I posted, do not listen to this show, do not enjoy this interview that they had. And he DM'd me like, we're only having banter. I'm like, I know, mate, it's absolutely hilarious. I think it's brilliant. I just love the fact that you two get on so well and you just vibe off each other. It makes for a really entertaining podcast. And yeah, it's one of the highlights of my podcasting week, definitely.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I really enjoy the love. And a lot of people have like tweeted us and stuff like that recently when people have asked for podcasts and stuff. And honestly, genuinely, thank you for that, because I would still do it even if it was just Mags listening. And that is saying something.
Even at three times the speed.
Yeah.
I keep telling my wife when you mention Mrs. Mags on there, oh, she has to wear a feather boa and she has to talk at three times the speed to get his, and she's like,
just get his
what
attention.
A fucking pair of idiots. Yeah.
No, I would never say a bad word about Mrs. Mags. What
no,
a babe.
She loves it. She loves it. You've also branched out of wrestling and you've started to produce some videos that I absolutely adore, really in my wheelhouse. I'm a massive, massive Football Manager fan, going back to the days of actually Championship Manager on
yes.
the Atari and on the Amiga to the days of Championship Manager Italia, which still stands out as one of my favourite ever games. You've branched out into creating content around Football Manager, especially with your Eintracht Frankfurt series. How did you get into that series and how did you get into creating content about Football Manager?
So I've, like yourself, I've been playing it since like Championship Manager 98, I think was the first one I had. And back then I only had the demo of it. I didn't have the real game. So you could only play one season. So I played the same season. And the first game, I remember it so well. It's Manchester United in the Champions League against Bromby every time, because that's the only team I'd ever play for. But every year I've always played Football Manager. It's probably the game I've played the most in my lifetime. Some years where I've had like girlfriends where I've been really under the thumb and they've been working and I've played like shits loads of hours. We're talking like over 1,000 hours worth of gameplay. So it's a game that I've played a lot. And I thought to myself, like, I've started like branching into the video and the YouTube stuff with my wrestling, of course, with like Fantasy Booking Faction and things like that. And I really enjoy making video content. And I started to think to myself, like, I'm playing this game. Why aren't I recording this game? I have the capabilities of doing so. Like, why aren't I recording this? Because not to like toot my own horn, it's actually probably the only game I'm actually quite good at. I play Station with my friends. I'm not very good at any game. I'm average at most. But Football Manager, because like me and you have played it for so long, we know the ins and outs of the game. We know what works and stuff like that. So I know I can come up with an entertaining save. And, you know, I started with Eintracht Frankfurt. I've really enjoyed the journey to the point where earlier on I was watching Eintracht Frankfurt versus Arsenal and like seriously cheering on Frankfurt. They didn't do too well, but you know, I thought I could possibly do better. And yeah, I've really enjoyed going into a different criteria, I suppose, of content creating. And it's got to a point now where it's doing that Eintracht Frankfurt save. I've made so many videos that I've gone past the point where I've edited enough videos to post. So I'm about 2 months ahead. So,
wow. So
when the episodes are coming out, like this is the episode that came out yesterday when we're recording. I recorded in July. Like it is a long time since this has happened. So when I'm watching it back, I'm actually enjoying it because I remember it all happening. It's seasons and seasons ago. But from that, I've sort of somehow managed to score a deal with FM Scout. Don't know how. Yeah, I'm very, very lucky. But the Eintracht Frankfurt save and the experiments on Omega Loop Gaming has just took off. And I couldn't be happier because I really enjoy making content as Football Manager. Because it's, like you say, it's for you, it's a passion for me as well. I've always loved Football Manager, and the fact that I can bring content for it is amazing.
Yeah, me and my very good friend, a lad called Declan, we used to do like joint saves where we'd take a very piss-poor team and do our best to get them like to the top of the league and into the Champions League, and we once did it with Oxford United, which is still one of my hearts.
Wow.
Yeah. We also managed Rangers when they were in the Scottish Championship. We got them promoted, got them to second place in the Premiership the season after, and they fucking sacked us for it. horrific. Yeah, but it's one of those games that it's a very British or probably European game. A lot of Americans aren't going to get it. It's a lot of stats and it's a lot of numbers and figures to crunch. But it's a game that you can just get absolutely invested in. You can literally look up at a clock and you've been playing the game 10 hours.
It's absolutely engrossed. Absolutely engrossed in the game. It is, like you say, it is one of those games where I'll sit on the sofa with the wife and I'll think, what have I actually done tonight other than play about 15 games of Manager? It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So, Luke, what has the next 6 months to a year got in terms of Omega Luke, Garconics, Football Manager content to come?
So I think the biggest thing to happen is going to be Football Manager 20, because the day that we're recording this, some news come out about it. FM Scout, we've got plans to have potentially a video every weekday of the year. So we've like listed out a load of ideas because I somehow managed to score this deal with FM Scout. I'm actually getting paid to do it. So the fact now that I'm making content and getting paid for it is also a big deal for me, because one of my videos made like $120, which, you know, I couldn't believe. It's been fantastic for me. So that is when the game is like 10 months old. I'm excited to see what numbers I can get from the ideas, because I think the hardest part of FM Scout creating the videos is at this point coming up with the ideas, because like I say, we're 10 months in. Most of my ideas that I would come up with have already been done. When there's a new game, all these ideas can just be recycled. And I spoke to the guys who have been doing it for a couple of years now, and like the numbers that we're getting now, we're expecting them. So and I was buzzing with it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, 60 views, that is amazing. 60 people has watched this. But from FM Scout's point of view, that is bad stats. So I'm excited for that, definitely. That is probably going to be the main thing, coming up with ideas for that, coming up with videos, seeing how much we can grow that channel, whilst helping my own, because the one of the main benefits is that I can promote my own stuff on there. So the Omega Loop Gaming channel has definitely benefited from that. And the Garconics, like, I'm just having so much fun just doing it. We've got BritRest October coming up in October, so that's going to be good. We're interviewing a few different companies from the world of Brit Wrestling, including Reach, my hometown. And the reason why we haven't recorded that one yet is because on the weekend that we're recording this, I'm actually training with Reach Academy for the first time, doing wrestling training. Don't know whether it's going to be a serious thing. Yeah, and they want me to sort of document it. So Grayson wants to come on after we've done that so we can sort of talk about it a little bit. But who knows? Yeah, I might continue it and see where that takes me. So we're going to do that for October. That should be quite fun. And other than that, then we've got Survivor Series stream, which obviously you're going to be a massive part of as well. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good, mate. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's interesting to say it wasn't that long ago that you were not feeling the vibe anymore for it, and now it's absolutely come back with a vengeance, and you're creating some absolutely amazing content. Like I said, the Football Manager stuff is absolutely in my wheelhouse. I like the setups that you do, like where you pick, like you'll see about Wonder Kids, or there's a guy called End of Story does a lot of like situations like that. He'll do like the biggest footballer versus the smallest footballer. But man, is definitely the continuous seasons. I really, really like that, especially when you get into the regens and finding the young wonder kids. Yeah, that's my wheelhouse right there. Just keep creating this amazing content, Luke. I absolutely love it.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm really enjoying doing it, and I'm exactly the same. The regens is what you play Football Manager for. It's finding the regens.
Absolutely. So, Luke, I've absolutely loved this chat with you. I'm really glad that we got back in touch and we nailed this down to find out how you were doing in the wrestling and Football Manager content scene. Let everybody know where they can see this and listen to this amazing content.
Yeah, me too, mate. Thank you very much for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to speak to Mags as much as I slag you off and hashtag fuck Mags. But yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at @Omega_Luke. You can find my wrestling YouTube, Omega Luke Wrestling, and the gaming YouTube with the FM stuff. FM Scout, obviously, if you type that in, you'll find the channel straight away. And Omega Luke Gaming is where you can find my stuff, which I might do more stuff as well as Football Manager. I have teased it before and spoke about it, but because of the whole Football Manager sort of blowing up a bit, I haven't touched on anything yet. But there is a game coming out which I want to play on that channel, which I'm not going to spoil too much. But if anyone's Zoo Tycoon in the past, you might enjoy this one. So it's going to be a little bit of fun. So it's a newer version of that. So that's Omega Luke Gaming. And of course, on Brainbuster Radio, you can find the Gyconics on Monday, the newly crowned Gyconics. So thank you very much, Max, for having me. Thoroughly enjoyed coming on Why We Watch again.
Absolutely, not a problem. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, Luke. You can find me on Twitter at DAJ Kirby. You can find the show at Why We Watch Pod. Again, Luke, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really do enjoy talking to you, and I think you've got a great man for wrestling and obviously a great man for Football Manager. Thank you for listening, people, and that is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.